know, just help us unwind. Additions to the program, Women and Gender on the Air, where Frida has arrived from Vancouver. Yay. Really happy to have her join us. She'll be doing the workshop tomorrow and in the main gallery, or if there's not a whole lot of people left, she can do it in Sweeney, which is right across the hall. The Solar Power Radio, Christopher Maxwell, did also arrive, and he will be doing a workshop tomorrow morning in the where the registration is during the workshop time. We'll move the registration tables, and he'll do the workshop there, because that's where the sun is. And just remember that tomorrow morning, we cannot use the dance hall studio, the area where the exhibition tables are. There is a church that rents that space. And so we will close the doors to that room, and please respect their privacy. Any issues? Yes. Pardon me?
Should we put one in the kitchen, maybe?
Okay, let's put a ride board in the kitchen.
Okay.
All right. Anything else? David?
My folks, they also have to move their car from the church parking lot tomorrow, right?
Yeah, church parking lot over where people are staying, the First Christian Church across from the police station. Tomorrow is Sunday, so it's a church service. You could probably park right, if you haven't noticed, they're right next across from Main Street. Between Main Street and the railroad tracks, there is parking in the back, and you can park there.
And it is Sunday, so and parking does not cost anything.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, so
you can park anywhere.
Yeah. So the computers in the dance studio will also have to be moved.
No, they can stay there. Okay. We just can't access them during that time.
Okay.
Once the service is over at noon, we'll open it up again. Okay. Yes. Barry.
Would it be possible to send all of us an email list of all of the attendees?
Veterans. Tell me what do I do? Veterans? Norm?
The way that we've done it in years past is there's a listserv that's called the GRC listserv, and some people here are already on it, some are not. At the end of the conference organizers will assemble a list of all the participants and then send those email addresses to Michael in Portland, who's the listserv coordinator, and he will add everybody to the list, and then they can opt out if they don't want to continue to be on it. In addition to that, some conferences have made available a list of all the participants to everybody by direct email, but other people haven't.
Yeah, we can figure out a way to do that. I'm not sure I understand the logistics of that, but we'll do it. Probably not in the first 3 days after the conference. But we'll figure it out after that.
After the transfusion.
After the transfusion. I thought that was a raised hand. Okay. This is a time when we'd like to just facilitate some process of ideas, and we've taken some of the themes that have emerged, and these people have been willing to kind of put themselves out on the line. What we want to do is make this a time for discussion groups. So what we're going to do is these good people are going to introduce the topic that they will facilitate. Because they stepped forward and said they had various topics they were particularly interested in that have to do with visions for the future of community radio. And so they're going to tell you what their interest is, and then when they're done, they're going to come down off the stage, and we're going to create groups around them according to interest. So listen to who has a topic you're interested in, and then get together with them and continue the discussion among each other. This is very much out of our conviction that the thing about community radio conferences is anytime you stand on a stage, you're kind of looking down at people that are just as qualified, if not more qualified than you, to discuss any topic you could possibly discuss up here. So we really want to benefit from each other's knowledge. The other thing we're going to do is on this side of the room, we're going to put up, oh, in the back, you see some cocktail tables. For those of you who want to do the speed dating, which essentially means you have a program that you're syndicating, and I see two people in the front here right here who have excellent programs. Yes, and this gentleman, incredible program. They're going to stand at the cocktail tables, and if you're looking for really, really good programming, and I mean it, the people I'm looking at, I would recommend any of them, go and have a chat with them for 5 minutes. They'll tell you what they do. You can ask questions and then move on. They give you a chance to hear what their programs are and give them a chance to really tell you what they're doing. So it's a little bit organized chaos. I think we can do it, right? It's specific. What?
Is it all happening at the same time?
Yeah, we're going to do it at the same time.
And the discussion?
Yeah, yeah. So if you're interested in speed dating, just break away for, I mean, it's 5 minutes, and then you can go back to your group. So these guys that have come forward with their program, come and listen to them. They're seriously, they're, as I look at them, they're excellent programs. We actually air all of them on KHOI. Okay, so I'm going to let everybody introduce themselves just for the sake of saving time. Now, I got to tell you, most of these people are a little bit shell-shocked because we have not rehearsed this. And so I'm going to do it first. Okay? I'll show you how it's done. Okay? Yes, I'll try. It's hard. Okay, so I want to talk about visions for financial sustainability and development for community radio in the future, and Mary is also going to talk about that. We're going to do it together. And the two things that I concretely have been thinking a lot about has been group underwriting through the Pacifica Network, how we can join forces as a network to increase the amount of potential for underwriting. The other thing is another idea that I've been floating around in my head for maybe a year, and it was really interesting. I went to the NFCB meeting, and Joel at Ampers actually has done this. So that was kind of interesting, you know, some ideas that are out there, and they start to seep into people's consciousness, and that is to use the production capacity that we have and to sell a podcast service to people in the community. And so what I'd like to do first, we have actually a very, very progressive green program in this town. In terms, our city kind of went out ahead because of one particular person and really developed a lot of green services. And I've noticed that they advertise that on Iowa Public Radio. So I'm thinking to myself, I would like to go to the city of Ames and say, hey, you know what, we want to develop this podcast service. Would you kind of be our beta test? And can we do a podcast for you about your, say, your rain barrel program? And we won't charge you very much because we're new at this, but we'd like to do a test, and then if it works out well, could you be a recommendation for us? And then we can kind of charge a substantial amount of money for other organizations or governments who have the desire to have a podcast for their websites or whatever, and to really sell our production services. So I think there's money in that too. And actually, it turns out Joel in Minnesota is having quite a bit of success with that. Mary, what do you want to talk about? So those of you that want to talk about funding, come and talk to me afterwards.
Okay, well, I like to think of myself not so much as a fundraiser as a manifester, okay, because I think that there is no future in community radio if we can't sustain ourselves financially. So for me, the notion is that it was not NPR who started pledge drives, it was Pacifica. It was community radio that started pledge drives, and they were awesome in their day. I think we are pledge driving our listeners to death because they have a whole lot more choices now than FM. They have, you know, all kinds of things through the internet and everything else. And so my notion is, how can we raise money that does not involve pledge drives? How can we wean ourselves off of that and again be the innovators for the future? And so I think that we can do that, and we can beat them because we are using a different model and people will not tune away. So part of it is the vehicle donation program, which I passed out at the workshop on fundraising, which we went from $25,000 a year to $153,000 the fiscal year that ended June 30th. If you use those methods that I handed out to you, I guarantee you will do much better. Okay, so that replaces, that's about how much we take in on air in 1 week. So that's really nice because we just get a check. So I'm trying to think of other ways we can just get a check. All we have to do is write things, you know, put things on the air to get people interested. So my notion is, I talked to Jackie Elliott from the Center for Car Donations. She thinks it's a great idea. I just have to get together with somebody, maybe at Anderson School of Management at UNM or something, and work up a business plan. But the Animal Humane League of Albuquerque takes in $350,000 to $400,000 a year by having a little tiny thrift store next to the animal shelter, okay? And I think if Jackie's willing to do the same thing with thrift stores that she does now with cars, it's a lot more labor intensive, but she can skim off her administrative fee and send us a check every month. And all we have to do is put on the air, you know, if you go to this thrift store at this place, it's all benefiting K whatever it is, or W whatever it is. And you know, just encourage people to donate to it and encourage people to buy there. And I mean, it's also recycling. We just have to get past this notion that money is evil, okay? Profits and exploitation are evil. Money is good if it powers what we all are doing in this room. That's, you know, just, I think we have to shift that mentality so we stop closing radio stations, you know?
I'd like to follow that up. Samori Marksman, a great program director at WBAI, where I came from, put that idea into my head by saying, when I questioned some of the fundraising ideas we had, Peter, you're confusing capitalism with capital. And that's what we do in community radio a lot. If the capital we need to broadcast has to be made, and we have really exhausted the listeners with pledge drives, especially when they're unfocused. For those of you in the room who don't know me, I'm Peter Boshan. I do a program All Mixed Up, and I'll try to go over there to the speed dating. But I'd rather talk about my 3 years at WPKN. It was where I went to school back in 1969, and during the course of my career, I've become a producer, not only for radio, but for various services. And a few years ago, I did something on Barack Obama. It was like before the election, and I was approached by PRX, and also a very worthwhile organization, to do something on whoever the president was going to be. And long story short, it became very popular, and my old station called me up and they say, we have a new way of fundraising. We're doing themes. We're talking to our old alumni, and you're one of them. Can we talk to you for 5 minutes? So I called them, and they let them pitch the premium. But what struck me was the method they were using to do a drive. It wasn't like a long marathon, but it was a theme that they were following, and this particular one was their history. But following that up, I came there as a manager because I really thought it was great. And it was like a 3-day or 4-day marathon. And it was a mini-thon, but it was theme-oriented. And we continued that idea into the future of the station and started getting some traction because the listeners would listen to these programs about a person or about an event or women's liberation or whatever it was as something they could only get on community radio on our station. And so it became, the calls and the money came in with comments like, I had to pull over and this, I could only hear this on WPKN. I'm sure you've heard this about from your listeners. But the experience led me to come back as manager and work on the station. The things that were sort of in limbo, but programs that some other person had thought about were one called Nonprofit Announcements and Underwriting. And we had a body of a board made up of listeners, and more like the staff. And some of them were entrenched in the old ways. But what became totally clear to me was we could not just go with the old method of pitching till we got whatever our budget was. We had a really good relationship with this school before it went under, and there was a lease made on it. Feeding back a little bit, I don't know who can think. Yeah, well, I'm going to talk. Right. Well, I'm talking about fundraising because what I really want to do is focus on how you fundraise. But what came up is nonprofit announcements and underwriting. And when you're doing a drive, and we did a lot of little drives, we were using premiums in the old-fashioned way and mailing them out, and fulfillment is an issue in the current environment that we all are competing with all the other media, is delivery of our product, the delivery of stuff that we've given in good faith to our listeners. Some of the old people will be willing to wait for their stuff for weeks, but today, no. All right, well, let me just finish. What I really want to talk about is delivering the premium, which is downloading. I think the future is, I don't know how to accomplish this myself, but I think the future is when you have premiums, they should be digitally deliverable as iTunes or platforms like that. So when you're pitching something to the future of our community broadcasters and our listeners, is that they call up, they give a number, and it's downloaded back to their phones. And that's, I think, one of the things that we can use to sustain ourselves by delivering the product. You know? Okay, so that's.
My name is Pete Tredish, and I'm a half-baked radio engineer. And I think I was asked to talk about this because I recently was working a bunch on passing the Local Community Radio Act, and one thing that happened in every single congressional office that I went into is like the staffer at some point, I was talking about community radio, and at some point they would be like, but what about the internet? And that's the question that everybody asks people that are involved in radio at this point is like, what's going to happen when FM is displaced by mobile phones, by broadband connections, and so on? And I finally ended up writing this piece called "The Radio, the Internet, and the Jetsons," with about 15 answers to that question. But it's something, and the truth of the matter is, there are a number of things that the internet does way better than FM ever could or ever will be able to do. But on the other hand, there are a whole lot of obstacles to us, having the same kind of agency on the internet that we had in community radio. And there are also a number of limitations of the way that the internet is being built out that are going to make it so that actually FM is going to kind of remain important for quite a while. We have a number of, right now the numbers are about 90% of Americans tune in to FM radio stations every week. And when you look at how many people tune in to some kind of internet delivered audio, it's somewhere around 30 or 40. It's a long way from dead, but how are we planning for that transition? What are the things our station should be doing now? I don't really see Clear Channel selling off all of its FM broadcast stations, tomorrow because they think the internet is better already. So basically, I'm hoping in our group to talk about what are the ways where we are doing the things to make this transition to IP delivered audio and broader community media projects. And what are the ways where we're continuing to use FM, because it is something that we already have already or we're about to build. So.
Hi, my name is Mark Sofus. I spent most of my life running a community radio station just outside of New York City, which unfortunately went off the air last summer. But one of the things that survived that was an LGBTQ youth program called Outcasting, which is now heard regularly on Sprouts. And I think everybody here knows what Sprouts is. No, okay, Sprouts is a weekly program carried on Pacifica, and there are about 40, what did we figure, Ursula, 43 or 44 stations, including one in Zurich, Switzerland, that carry the program, and Outcasting is heard on these stations along with all the other contributors to Sprouts, which is a decentralized program. It's in many different stations, and independent producers contribute to it, different one every week. And what we are doing, what we're hoping to do, I'm actually going to be holding a workshop downstairs tomorrow morning, if anybody would like to come, is we want to start collaborating with other stations on possibly opening Outcasting bureaus in other communities. We are in suburban New York. We are on track now to open a bureau in New York City next month, so that the program can show a range of LGBTQ youth experiences outside the suburbs. And what we really want to do is to have it reflect LGBTQ youth realities in a lot of parts of the country. So that's what the workshop's going to be about. And I am certainly no authority on collaboration, but I will be talking with anybody who's interested about collaborating either on Outcasting or on other programs. And I was thinking I might be doing the speed dating thing in the back, but maybe I'll send my husband, Doug, who is patiently sitting in the corner over there, to do that if anybody wants to find out more about Outcasting. But if anybody wants to talk about collaboration, I'll be someplace, although I think I want to come to your workshop on funding.
Hi. My name is Parker Hobson, and I'm from WMMT, which is a full power station. We turned 29 this year in the Central Appalachian Mountains. We're part of AppleShop, which is a larger media collective that's been around since 69. Some of y'all might have heard it. And we're splitting up into groups and talking about things. We will reflect on the Hip Hop Summit that happened yesterday. And even if you weren't there and a part of it, I think there's space for a more broad discussion on hip-hop's place in community radio in general. And even more broadly than that, I think the intentionality of why we do what we do, I got really broad, so I'll bring it back down for a second. But for us, we air hip-hop as social justice. To make a very long story short, there are 6 prisons within our listening area. It's a recent development. It's somebody's idea of economic development. And there are a lot of people that listen to our radio station from very far away that have no way to contact their families because phone calls in prison are so expensive. And there's no radio station in the area that plays hip-hop, or there wasn't until we started, because we started getting requests. So we said, cool, we'll do it. And we started, every week, we compile people leaving messages on a toll-free line for the folks inside to hear. So there's a new batch of messages that we air every Monday night at 9 o'clock. Anyhow, point is, this experience for me getting to present yesterday was so rewarding because it's being, like, it's kind of marshaling some of the power in this room. It's people who are really passionate about what they do, really passionate about music, and we have the power to address social issues with that music. So hip-hop is definitely one way, for sure, but I think there are other ways, too. We could talk about that.
I listened in on the Hip Hop Summit yesterday during the afternoon, and it was kind of in a different building, so it was hard for a lot of folks to catch what was going on over there. But I really, Parker's being very modest. It was a spectacular event that happened yesterday, and they really kicked off a hip hop network here at the GRC, and I hope it's a permanent part of the GRC. It's a spectacular development. And the folks that came here from all over the country were just of the highest integrity and visionary. So I want to congratulate the Hip Hop Summit. I don't know if Jerome made it back yet. He was, oh, there he is. And just say something real quick, Jerome, as well, just because I know you were planning to, just about what happened yesterday, and then we'll move on, because this is kind of a historic moment.
All right, how's everybody doing out there?
Thank you.
Who loves community radio? Let me hear you make some noise. I don't know. Let's try that one more time. Who loves community media? Let me hear you make some noise. Well, for those of you who don't know me, I'm Jerome, DJ Defcon Edge, and I am a program producer of a show by the name of The Massive Mix Session on KSVR 91.7 FM in Mount Vernon, Washington, near the Seattle area. And I'm also the hip-hop program director of online radio station Seattle Wave Radio. And it says Parker and Ursula touched on the purpose of the Hip Hop Summit, which a number of you may not have been able to make it to yesterday, but may have wanted to, was to squash a lot of the stereotypes that happen in hip hop. And there's a lot. Like, for instance, I'm gonna ask anybody in this room right now a question. Like, when I say hip hop, what comes to mind? Anybody who wants to answer, raise your hand right now.
Black curses, baggy pants.
Did somebody just say the word hoe? Okay. Misogynist, right. But what we did yesterday is we really challenged a lot of those stereotypes, because what's happened in the culture, in the movement of hip-hop, is the same thing that's happening to us all, and that's media consolidation. I mean, raise your hand here if you've spoken out against what happens with commercial radio and companies like Clear Channel and what they're doing to the mainstream. Raise your hand if you've done that. You know what I'm saying? The same thing is happening in hip-hop music and hip-hop culture, that in any one of your communities right now, I guarantee you, if you were willing to do that outreach, you would find artists that are doing positive things. Like, if you came to the showcase last night, some of the hip-hop I spun was talking about Palestine in Gaza, and, you know, long live Palestine, freedom to the Palestinian people. One of my good friends from my rural community where I am, of only 100,000 people, is a hip-hop artist. And he did a track that I spun last night talking about this generation of Americans, youth and young people, are tired of war, tired of the military-industrial complex, and topics like that. And so that's what we really attempted to squash with the Hip Hop Summit yesterday, is some of those stereotypes, and educate people that things like the word hoe or, you know, misogyny and things like that aren't hip hop. That's not the culture. That's not the way it is. You guys all saw Miss Alicia B doing her thing up here at the opening ceremony on the turntables, right? Like, she's a very talented young woman who goes as hard as just as the guy DJs, you know? And that's what we really did yesterday. And as an advocate, I'd like to open myself up to say, if anybody has any questions and you think this may be something that you may like to bring to your station in the way of outreach, because that's what hip-hop is about. Hip-hop is about expression, hip-hop is about outreach, and hip-hop is about the movement. I'll be here all week. Myself, Parker, my boy Mike Crenshaw, any of the hip-hop people you see here, just come up and talk to us. And we can hopefully help you bring about ways you can bring that to your radio station. So that's my word on that. And again, y'all, Jerome, DJ Defcon Edge. And thank you for giving me a moment. And one last thing, I'd like to apologize for showing up kind of late. I got a really unique opportunity. Thank you, Pat, if he's in the room. He set something up where I just went out to the Meswaki, how do you say it? The Meswaki people, to their tribal community, and I got a chance to interview a very distinguished elder about him teaching his culture to his children and his family in this kind of, you know, digital age of Facebook and things like that, and passing it on to young people. So, yeah, my apologies, y'all. So I'll let you get back to it. Thank you for letting me say a few words. Yeah. There you go.
Wow, how to follow up after that. That's excellent. Hi, everyone. My name's Alan Gomez, and I'm with the Prometheus Radio Project. You've probably seen a few of us kind of sticking our noses in a bunch of different things throughout the few days.
course, also Petrie, who's a founder of Prometheus Radio. Also, so one of the things that hopefully we've either been able to express or convey is some of the history regarding the fight for LPFM and strategies to make it as effective as possible. There have been a series of wins that Prometheus and Allies have had over the course of 15 years. And along the way, one of the things that has been instrumental is an ability to kind of evolve according to what is needed. So the initial recognition of the LPFM service, then it was like, oh, okay. Then there was a window that only opened up 800 new frequencies, 400 of which were churches out in very rural areas. So then a 10-year policy fight that then led to the Local Community Radio Act. So these kinds of transitions to evolve to make it as effective as possible, I think, are part of the things that have made this movement growing. And so we're here in this really exciting and really energized time now, where we have 2,800 applicants, 1,400 of which are already granted, and Prometheus is working to get as many of these voices up on the air, doing the specific tangible work of building the stations. But all along, the main goal has been not just to get a law passed, not just to put in applications, but to actually build a social movement, because we believe that radio is still the most accessible medium that can offer a transformative access for society. And we believe that media and education and all the different ways in which it can be integrated through radio and other community media should be transformative. We should be able to engage directly and be able to involve and integrate our communities into it. And LPFM is a wonderful vehicle for that. So what we want to talk about is a little bit about what next for Prometheus. We have been working and kind of like designing a way to try to maintain and build on the relationships that we've had over the number of years with a number of different LPFMs. In the lead up to the application window, we did a lot. We went out on tours, organizing different communities, particularly movers and shakers, if you will, people that were doing work that was very close to our hearts in the social justice movement, because we believe that the work they're doing is powerful, important, necessary, and radio was going to play a really important role with that. And then the ones that saw that as well, saw that vision, are now applying, and many of them have licenses. So one of the things that we are thinking about is, okay, how do we maintain this relationship and build out on it, also create kind of peer groups so that we can create a supportive network, a supportive solidarity network, to be able to build out on this, amplify the voices, increase capacity, and also for us to make as effective as possible the type of supports that Prometheus can offer to so many now groups, because there's now hundreds of groups that we're working with. So that's what we're going to be talking about. And thanks.
I want to let you hold the microphone like Jerome did. I thought that was really great the way he held it. So I'm going Jerome way here. My name is Marika Partridge, and I live in Tacoma Park, Maryland, on the edge of Washington, D.C. My signal will, if we get our permit, we're an MX, low-power FM, not on the air. We'll cross the line into D.C. We'll be in Maryland. We'll be northeast and northwest D.C., and two counties in Maryland. One is a have-rich county, and one is a have-not-poor county. So I'm pretty excited about breaking down all those jurisdictions. For me, radio now, I started a station in Alaska in the 80s. It stood alone as a radio station. I don't think radio can stand alone, and I don't see my LPFM standing alone. We need to have a maker space. We need to be a teen club. We're going to be the Ethiopian coffee shop. We're going to be an art studio. We're going to be starting off some fundraising by making a paper studio like WGXC did in Hudson and auctioning off parts of the studio to make money for what we're doing. We're working with young filmmakers. We're training young producers. I'm really interested in youth. I love teenagers. I used to be afraid of them. We wrote a grant for a very recent grant. Got some beautiful oral history and history and interviewing equipment. I've got a young team working while I'm here and all summer while I've not been there out on the streets gathering tape. So if you want to talk about creative ways to make a really broad step in your community using art and music and hula hoops and ukuleles and paintbrushes, come and talk to me.
Wow, isn't that great? It's incredible. Just the whole array of all these frontier thoughts. It's really wonderful. Thank you, all of you. So, you got this? Were you able to keep this straight? Remember who's doing what? Okay.
Let's all do one.
One
two
word.
Words.
Two words. Okay. Parker?
Hip hop, etc.
Collaboration.
The future.
Downloading.
Fundraising.
Solidarity Network.
Hula hooping.
three pieces of business before we start. Now, so what we're going to do is, these guys are going to come off stage. You're going to find a group of people, and you're just going to move chairs around them. And some people are going to go back to the back, and do the speed dating, and Peter, if you want to go there first, then you can kind of join our fundraising part and do that. And same for you. Oh, you've got an arrangement. Okay. So before we do that, three pieces of business. One is we do have some field trips planned for this evening. The weather is clearing. It looks really nice out, and at least last time I looked. And so if you're interested in one of the field trips, go to the Pantorium across the street at KHOI, and we'll sort that out there. Those of you who are going out to the High Trestle Bridge, you can have a great evening. So now people have asked me, what about dinner? Sorry, we just didn't figure that out. So do what you have to do, and we'll be flexible. Okay, we have two situations where we've got some potential prizes. So first,
it's three.
Okay. No, the silent auction is not happening right now.
Oh, it's not.
Okay.
Okay.
So. Yes. Yes, Michael. Michael.
I'd like to thank everybody for welcoming us here, SEMS. For those who didn't stop by the booth, we're a broadcast equipment company, family-owned business. We've been around for 38 years. We do commercial radio. We've helped get about 25 to 30 LPFM stations up and running. But anyway, we did a quick raffle. Originally, it was going to be a set of headphones and a $100 gift card, but it seems that somebody decided they wanted to go ahead and take the headphones. So we're going to move to the Visa card, and I have that in my office. So we will we'll draw for that, and then I'll mail that to you. But so she's bringing the bucket around for the last chance. But again, thank you for inviting us out. We're glad to be a part of this. One thing about working for a family-owned business, there's no corporate red tape. There's no, you know, I could say, hey, there's a great opportunity for us to go support community radio, and the owner's like 100% in. So I think I talked to Donna last Wednesday, and then on Thursday I said, okay, we're in. So. I used to play baseball right in that high school right there. Right.
96.5
Sarasota's own community radio, say the beaten. Great. Thank you again for having us. Unfortunately, last minute coming here, We won't be here tomorrow. I'm leaving tomorrow morning at 7, so I will check the ride board to see if anybody needs a ride to the airport first thing in the morning, but thank you.
And thank you again for subsidizing my tickets. Okay, we're going to do the quilt. KDRT, Davis, California.
Yep.
Mr. Jeff Shaw.
Shall you do the honors?
Go for it, sir.
Malachi Muncy. Where are you located?
Fort Hood Clean Tech, just about an hour north of Boston.
Yay! Okay.
Okay, we got the plan. So we're just going to descend and pick a spot, and we'll organize the chairs around us.
Thank you.